are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you are a part of our congregation, and we trust you'll stay with us while we're asking the Lord to make our service a blessing to you today. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the one who gave his life on the old rugged cross so that we could be delivered from sin and from sin's bondage. And we are thankful for the privilege of presenting the message of salvation to this precious congregation today. For we know that you are no respecter of persons, that whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. So may the Holy Spirit take our broadcast today and make it a blessing to each and to everyone, and especially for any that are listening who are unsaved. May the love of God, may the Spirit of God work with them and deal with them. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. We continue the musical part of our service with a selection, Seeking the Lost.
Seeking the lost, yes, finding and treating, wanderers on the mountain astray, come unto Jesus, blessed repenting, hearts of the
upon the mountain.
Our subject for this broadcast, a message to the unsaved. And we are thankful for any that are listening to our service today. And I would ask for your attention, for we do have a message for you in a particular way. Our text today is Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. As an unsaved person, this may be the most important invitation you will ever receive. It comes to you from God in heaven, and that certainly is worthy of your attention. I say it comes to you from God in heaven, and if you will accept this invitation, you will receive the greatest gift you can ever receive, the gift of salvation. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1 and 18. As an unsaved person, I ask you to stop and meditate upon the future welfare of your own eternity-bound soul. Ask yourself this most important question: where will I go in eternity? And where do I want to go? It is appointed unto men once to die, so there is no question as to whether you will go into eternity or not, for that is an appointment that all of us must meet. The only ones that will not will be those that are living when Christ comes. You may be enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, and it will be for only a season, but you do not have true happiness, and you do not know how long you're going to be able to live in this time world. So you do not have true happiness. That can only be found in Christ. Now I know what I speak of, for I was an unsaved person at one time, and I came to the Lord, sought His forgiveness, and obtained it, and I know what it really means to be a Christian, what it really means to have Christ in my heart, to know that my sins are forgiven, that I'm no longer guilty of them, that I have a clear conscience toward God and toward man. What a wonderful blessing that is. And it's not limited to a few. Again, whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. There is nothing in this world that can give you the joy, the peace, the love that Christ alone can give. To know that your sins are forgiven and you are living for God is worth more than all of this world. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. Again, you have an appointment with death. You will leave this world, but you will take none of the things of this world with you. You will leave them all behind. We brought nothing into this world, and we'll take nothing out. God has done and is doing all He can to save your soul. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:16-17. We are told in the Scriptures that Jesus Christ gave Himself to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto Himself a separate people zealous of good work. We are also told that Jesus tasted death for every man. Do not believe these false teachers who are teaching you that God predestinated only a certain few to be saved and the rest to be lost. No, God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, Jesus tasted death for every man, and you were included. But God will not force you to be saved. No, God will never force anyone to be saved. He convicts of sins, He draws, and He endeavors through the preaching of the Word of God to persuade you to receive Christ, but God will not force you nor anyone else to be saved. He has made you with a will, a free will, and you must choose for yourself. Joshua, that great leader of the nation of Israel, said so long ago, "If it seem evil in your sight to serve the Lord, then you choose whom you will serve, whether the gods that were on the other side of the river or the gods in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Jesus has said for us to choose. He sets before us good and evil, life and death, and we are told that we are to make the choice. Christ is standing at your heart's door, knocking, but it can only be opened from the inside. An artist painted a picture, doubtless you have seen it, of Christ knocking on a door. And someone said to the artist, "You have made a mistake. You have no knob on the outside." And the artist said, "This door can only be opened from the inside," for that door represented Christ knocking at the door. And so Christ is standing at your heart's door knocking, but it can only be opened from the inside. Yes, you are the only one that can open it. There is no knob on the outside. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." So we read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Christ came into this world and gave His life on that cruel cross of Calvary so you could have life. Yes, Jesus Christ gave His life so that you could have life. Consider Christ hanging on the cross for you. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. Jesus Christ is knocking at your heart's door through His Word and through His Spirit today. And Jesus said, "No one can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Christ gives rest to those who will come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verses 28, 29, and 30. I realize that some people have the idea that living the Christian life is a hard life, but that is not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach us that the way of the transgressor is hard. And I've just read here where Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the Old Testament, God gave the children of Israel the seventh day as a day of rest. They had been slaves in Egypt, and they were laboring there as a slave 7 days a week. And when God, through Moses, led them out of that bondage, he gave them a day of rest, the seventh day. And on that day, they were to do no labor. Now that Sabbath day was a type of the soul rest that we have in the new covenant. No, it is not bound on us today, as someone would have us to believe. The seventh day Sabbath was a type of the rest that we have in Jesus Christ. And this soul rest was made possible for everyone through the death and resurrection of Christ. In Christ, you have victory over sin. No, you don't have to continue a life of sin, of sinning more or less every day. This idea that Christians continue to live in sin is not supported by the Word of God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's in Romans 5 and 1 and 2. We're also told in the book of Romans, sin shall not have dominion over you. So Christ gave us victory over sin through his death and resurrection. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That is Romans chapter 6, verses 11, 12, and 13. In Christ, you have eternal life. This is life eternal, that you may know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So we read in that beautiful prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17 and 3, "Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." And that's Jesus speaking, as recorded by the Apostle John in chapter 8 and verse 41. "Verily, verily I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death or see death." And that's not talking about physical death, that's talking about spiritual death. There are two deaths taught in the Bible, and both of them are spiritual that I have reference to now. Whenever a child comes to the knowledge of right and wrong, and knowingly and willingly sins, that child dies, for the wages of sin is death. But we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and also verse 21, about another death. And that's the second death, and that death is eternal. Whenever we stand before the Lord in judgment, and he says to those on the left-hand side, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting prayer, fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These shall go away to the second death." Again, I say that second death is eternal. There's no recovery from it. There's no coming back. There's no such a thing as a second chance. So, beloved, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, if he lives according to my word, he shall never see that second death. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the unsaved forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Yes, forsake your way. Turn to the Lord with all your heart. Seek him. And he said, if you would seek him with all your heart, then he would be found of you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Beloved, the prophet here is speaking to you if you are unsaved today. Let the unsaved forsake his way. Yes, the Lord said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. Therefore, let you forsake your own ways and your unrighteous way of doing things, and return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon you and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This verse of Scripture shows us that we are the ones that went away from the Lord, and we are the ones that must return to him. The prodigal son left his father's home, and the prodigal son came to himself, and he returned. Yes, he went away, and he had to return. And he did return, and he said to his father, "I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be your child. Just let me be your servant." But the father forgave him and gave him a new robe. And God has a new robe for you, dear sinner, and that robe is a white robe of righteousness. Will you seek him today? Will you turn from your unprofitable ways, your sinful ways, and seek the Lord with all of your heart? If you will, I assure you, you will find him. Father, we thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you for the love of God, and we thank you for the gift of your dear Son, and we thank you for life through him. Do speak to any unsaved in our congregation today, and draw them by your love and by your Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has been a blessing. If so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741 USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741 USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. There's a number there on the webpage. Or you may listen to a previous broadcast if you would like to hear again or you missed one. And we invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7, and that's Eastern Time. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin Craig, thanking you for being with us today, inviting you to be with us next week when we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Whosoever heareth shall shout the sound.